Welcome to the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. We invite you to listen in as we discuss how as leaders, we can lead teams to accomplish unthinkable things. Now, here's our hosts, Rodney Wardwell and Jason Sharp.
Hey, thanks so much for joining the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. This is Rodney Wardwell with my friend Jason Sharp.
What's up?
Hey, Jason, what's up, my man?
Doing good. Loving it.
Good to see you. Hey, we had a blast just a couple weeks ago down at the CMN conference.
We did.
So much fun.
So powerful, such great inspiration, content, just, I mean, still soaking it in. So good.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way. I came back home saying to my team, okay, we need to watch this. We need to watch this message together. We need to watch this message together. It was so good.
Yeah.
And just glad to be back home now. We're getting geared up for Easter Sunday, right? Just a couple of weeks away now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so excited to be able to take some time to talk to the leaders who are listening today and invest in them. I want to take a few minutes and talk today on the topic of navigating change on a team. You know, there's something that we all go through, and that is change, whether we want to or not, right?
Right.
Change is difficult. It's the elephant in the room a lot of times. And, some people are better than others at navigating change, but doesn't mean that change is easy for anyone, right, Jason?
Change is rarely easy, but it's necessary. And I think we all understand that change happens or has to happen in order for us to progress from one phase or one level to the next or one place to the next place. But it's how do we initiate that change? How do we process through that? How do we lead well through that change? Because you're right, people react to change differently, and you kind of have to keep all of that in mind.
Yeah. And whether that change is happening like to you personally or to your family or within the organization you're a part of, change hits us all personally though, right? And in order for change to occur in any organization, each person has to think, feel, or do something different, right? There's like adapting that has to happen.
Yeah.
And our ability to grow and change as an organization is dependent on the individual's ability of the people in the room to grow and change as well, right? You've probably heard someone say like, this person's our lid, or they're the weak link in the chain or whatever. And kind of what they're saying is like, everybody else is able to move forward. There's sometimes one person that struggles with it. Right?
There's the resistance to change is fascinating because it is something that we all deal with because it hits us differently depending on the topic. If the more strongly we feel about something, the more maybe resistant we are to change, or maybe the more open we are to change. Yeah. I think it was Dr. Richard Dobbins who said you only change when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing, and and you have to like. And I feel that sometimes, like, okay, I'm not going to change until I'm just so uncomfortable in the place where I'm at right now that I have to change. And some people kind of live in that. But as leaders, we have to be able to anticipate and move forward and help those who are kind of resistant to change.
So good, man. So good. And, we're actually living out change right now because this is the first time we've ever recorded our podcast where we're not in the same room together, right?
Yeah.
Jason is in Portland. I'm here in Seattle. And it just so happened that even though we were together a couple weeks ago, it's been a little bit of time since we've been able to come together and make some of these podcasts happen. And so this has changed for us. And we're adapting, we're rolling with it, right?
That's right.
But what happens with change is really, I've written down here, there's kind of three outcomes to change. One is this, and change is introduced, the people just roll with it, and the organization changes and it's healthy, right? There's thriving growth and good things happen. The second thing is change is introduced. Somebody kind of kicks back or balks at the change. The organization changes anyhow, and that person's frustrated, and then there's tension on the team, right?
Yeah.
And then there's this third one. Change is introduced. The individual kicks back at it. The organization chooses not to change because not everyone's on board, and then growth is stifled. And that's not healthy at all. Then that means that really one person kind of dictates whether the team can change or not. And so the team, that's where mission drift happens, and the team goes off into a direction they're not supposed to go in. And so again, you can see how we as individuals, whether you're the leader of the whole team, or you're just a leader on the team. How we handle change individually impacts how the team is able to move forward and navigate, right?
Yeah, so good. Those three things are so right on. I think that we can apply this personally, but when it comes to leading our teams, I mean, I've been in so many teams where, man, that third option happens and just there's no movement. Something gets tabled and then it's almost so, it's more awkward to bring it back up again because you just haven't moved anywhere, where sometimes that happens and then you can have a conversation with that individual to kind of help them through that a little bit, and then maybe there's like a next step. But man, so many times it's so frustrating as a team because you want to go someplace and there's one or more individuals that are just resistant to it and they balk at it, and either they are frustrated or the team's frustrated, and neither one of them are healthy.
Yep. And so I hope you hear this, listener, that it doesn't matter if you work for Amazon or Apple, if you're working at a hospital or a church, a school, it doesn't matter. Change happens, and change is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to keep coming. You know, Facebook updates your app every third Thursday, right? Whether you want them to or not, things are constantly changing, right? Sometimes they're big changes, and sometimes they're small changes, and sometimes they feel like little bumps, and sometimes they feel like big obstacles. But how we navigate the change is important. One thing my mentor, Pastor McNabb, always used to say, Jason, is he said, you can't let change make you emotional. Mm. And that's hard because we're emotional people, right? We have feelings. And it doesn't mean you can't have emotions or feel a certain way about the change, but you can't let that emotion pull you into its vortex and cause you to spiral, right? And so change requires us, we've got to step back. We got to take a deep breath. And you know, we got to pray, ask God, give us wisdom, how to deal with that change. And so as we move forward today, what we wanted to do was just share five things with you that will hopefully be helpful for you, listener, that as we navigate change in our own lives, these are things that can help you navigate that change in a more healthy way. And the first one is this: learn to anticipate change. We've kind of been talking about that, right? Expect that change is going to happen, right? And things are so much easier to handle when we have the opportunity to brace for impact, right? And so just expect it. It's going to happen. If change isn't happening right now in your organization, oh boy, get ready, because it's coming, right? It's going to happen. And maybe you're a part of an organization that feels like change is every other day, right? Just prepare yourself and anticipate change. An organization that's going somewhere and it's going to be changing very quickly, right? There's going to be changes all the time. And so we've got to learn to embrace that and prepare for it. We do that here at New Hope. Jason, I know you do that at Faith Journey. The organization we're part of, the Church Multiplication Network, is constantly changing. The teaching of the launch material for church planters, you and I have been a part of those launches for many years, and at the end of every one, it's how can we change this? How can we make this better, right? How can we? So we're always changing.
And I think that's the beauty of it, right? It's not just change for change's sake, right? We're not just trying to upend something. We're always trying to improve on something. We're always trying to make it better. And that's what initiates change, because even if you're a well-oiled machine, you've got all your systems flowing, there's going to be some innovation comes along or some way of doing it better. And how can you make it more efficient? How can you optimize something? It's going to impact change. And so you're going to have to move with it. So anticipating is a big key.
So good. And we're more wired for change than we think we are, right? I mean, for the most part, most of us, we get a little bit, at least, of the four seasons. But, you know, weather changes during different seasons. Kids, they're changing in a grade every school year. That's change, right? They tell us that our bodies, we won't have a single cell in our body 7 years from now that we have right now. It's all going to change out, right? If you're not changing, you're dying, right? Mm-hmm. And so in order for there to be growth, there has to be change. And so we've got to anticipate it. The second thing is this: learn verbiage that celebrates change, right? You've probably heard some sayings, Jason, that are kind of crippling to an organization that is not celebrating change. Any of those come to mind?
Man, this is the way we've always done it. I can't stand that saying. And, you know, like, just what? Like, okay, maybe. So let's evaluate, is that the best practice moving forward? There's obviously a reason why it was done that way, but that's not a good reason to keep doing something that way. I think that's one of the biggest ones that gets under my skin.
Absolutely. That's exactly the one I was expecting to hear you say too, because it's it is. And a person that's opposed to change will think of all the ways and reasons why it's going to be hard and why it probably shouldn't be done, right? But a person that's open to change can see the benefits to change and looks for solutions to those hard challenges to keep the change moving forward. And so really all the difference in the world often is our language. And so it needs to shift from that's not the way we've been doing it, or this is the way we've always been doing it, to hey, we can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Or we're made to do hard things, or we find solutions, not problems. We're more creative than we give ourselves credit for, right? Those kinds of things are verbiage that celebrates change and causes us to think differently. The third thing is this: learn how to process change. And what I mean by that, and this is even really more important as it comes to being on a team, is that the way we process change is important, right? And then this is the part that's complicated, because hopefully you get to work with people that are your friends too, right? And so there's this balance of as we hear the change coming, we also want to talk with people around us about the change. And we've got to be aware of the appropriate levels of vulnerability, right? Because I don't know, I've you know, seen this happen before, probably just outing myself. I've probably been guilty of some of this in the past, my own self, Jason, of like, you know, being at lunch with coworkers, being out and about and talking about some of the changes that are coming, and it becomes less of like a productive, let's talk about this, we're excited about this, and it becomes a venting of, can you believe this is happening, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly, and it starts innocently, but it just compounds on itself, and before long, all of a sudden, you guys are just, you know, you're forming a coalition of criticism, and that's just going to become toxic in on the team. And so, being able to identify that right away, and when you start feeling yourself go into that realm, just to be able to quickly curtail it back is big, and it means that you have to be transparent, you have to be self-aware and vulnerable about how you process it.
Absolutely. And I always say this: when in doubt, always remember, take frustrations and questions up, right? Take them up to your direct report, whoever your leader is.
It's good.
And I hope the leaders that are listening right now on the podcast too, that you're creating an environment on your team where people can ask questions. They can seek clarity, right? It's a safe place. They can bring up potential blind spots. That's why they're on your team, right? We welcome collaboration at New Hope, right? I'm the leader, but I want everyone's voice. And so, you know, encourage people to bring up their questions and their frustrations.
Right, and sometimes as the leader, you one of the reasons we don't create that kind of environment sometimes is because we might be nervous about a question that is going to be asked that we might not be able to give the best answer for. And I think being able to be honest about that and be able to process together, like, I really feel like this is the shift we need to make, or let's experiment here and let's try this. You're building that collaborative spirit on the team, but you're also welcoming them into a process where they can ask questions, they can process with you, and maybe you're vulnerable enough to be able to own up to, okay, that wasn't the right move I thought it was, and let's try this next.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So take those questions up. On rare occasions, should you take your frustration and questions to your coworkers, to those that are kind of on a parallel with you, unless there's a safe space to do that. And then I always say this: never dump down on the people that you lead. And that's where I think sometimes we get into some problems is, we start to dump down. And here's the thing: maybe you're the leader at the very top of the leadership structure, if you will, which, good leaders, that doesn't mean a whole lot other than it means that you're the last person to go up to. So maybe then you have to look outside of your organization to go to somebody, so that you don't dump down, right?
Right.
And again, we're talking about appropriate levels. We're not talking about, like, you know, collaboration and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about if there's some real frustration, some real, you know, things that you need, and it becomes less of constructive conversation, more of venting. Everybody needs to be able to vent, but know who to go to, right? And don't vent down, don't dump down. You have to learn the proper way to process change and what that appropriate vulnerability looks like. And then the fourth thing is this: learn what to do with change. Because again, some change you're going to love. Some change has felt like, oh, this is a long time coming, right? And so it's not going to be hard. But not all change is easy like that. Not all change is going to be something that you agree with or something that you like. As a team member, you know, we have to agree to walk away from the end of every meeting and say, hey, we're, for the sake of unity, for the sake of the mission, we're going to do this, right? It's kind of like, again, Jason, we always use sports analogies, but in football, players get into the huddle. The play is called, they clap, psh, they're unified, they're on the same page, they break out, they get in the line of scrimmage, and then guess what happens? Sometimes the leader, the quarterback, might see something when he sees the defense. He didn't see it when they were in the huddle, but now he sees it when they're at the line, and he calls an audible, right? And people can say, hey, he just audibled a play that took the ball away from me. I was supposed to get the handoff. But the quarterback sees that if he hands the ball off to you, you're going to get smashed, right? And what happens is instead of getting the ball now, you're asked to block for him. And the play is going to be a pass to someone else, right? What happens if you don't roll and you're not unified is that the play is going to get botched. There's a potential the ball is going to be fumbled or intercepted or something because you didn't do what you were now asked to do when the audible was made. And sometimes that happens when there's a change that's made and we're like resistant to the change. It causes the team to fumble the ball.
Yeah, everybody's going to be on the same page. Everybody has to have the big goal in mind, be on mission together. Yeah. I think what you said there is so good because you're right. And you even kind of play off that analogy or that metaphor of what you were talking about with football. It's like you know when somebody goes to the line, it's almost sometimes you can sense that person knows that ball's not coming to them, and they're and everybody knows it because of how they're reacting. But you're right, if change happens at the line of scrimmage or something and they're not on it, it's gonna be a blown up play. And the same thing in our organizations, if we're not all in some sort of alignment, it doesn't mean that we have to 100% be like, man, I agree with where we're going. Like, you might have some reservation as a team member, but like you said, when you leave that room, we are unified. We're moving forward as a team, and we're gonna go with it as if it's the best idea in the world. Because if we're not unified, it's gonna be a disaster play.
Yep, absolutely. So, and then this fifth thing is this: learn to lead change. You know, whenever possible. Change should have on-ramps and off-ramps that people are aware of. Now, not all change can be made slowly, right? I would say that maybe less than 10% of the time does change need to be made very fast and decisively, and there's no other way around it. But if given the option to change slower, then for the sake of the team, do it. Consensus isn't always necessary, but it is a lot more harmonious when change happens and people are aware of it, right? They at least see it coming and it's kind of leaked, right? We always like to follow someone in traffic that's getting ready to get off of the interstate and they use their blinker and let us know they're switching lanes, right? It's a courtesy, right? It's giving people a little bit of time to know. Instead, no one likes to be cut off though. No one likes that quick change. They're cutting over in our lane. So we've got to learn to leak the change, right? And, you know, you've got to remember to be wise with how much you say and to who you say it to. And I always, this is a huge one, right? I always say, if you're not the one leading the change, you shouldn't be the one leaking the change.
That's so good.
So, something that I read in a Harvard Business Review is that once you've communicated that change is coming, you got to keep talking about the change, right? Because nobody wants to hear, hey, change is coming, and then that's it. And then, because what happens is in the back of their minds, people are thinking, okay, now people are making decisions about my life in behind closed doors and in secret meetings, and I know nothing about it now. So once you mention a change is coming, you've got to keep throwing little tidbits out there, if you will, just to let people know, okay, here's where we're at now. Here's where we're at now, right? Because people do not thrive in vacuums where there's lack of information. So again, you share what you can appropriately, but wow, you got to keep communicating the process.
Yeah, over communication is big. I think you hit the nail on the head there. As far as when we think that we were too repetitive, we're just scratching the surface there of communication. Yeah. But I would say that it kind of goes, even more that if I institute a change in a meeting and I say, hey, we're going to go in this direction. This is kind of where, and then I don't say anything about it for a while, or it just kind of gets stifled and we don't really go there at a fast pace and I'm not giving any updates, then I've lost a little bit of credibility as a leader too, because now what I say, people can kind of discern, he doesn't really mean that. If we don't react a certain way, or if we don't do whatever, then we're not going to do that. He's just kind of let it go. So like, you have to, as a leader, learn how to lead into the change and keep going with that. Cause it's going to bring your team together, and they're going to know what to expect from you as a leader, and vice versa.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we wrap up here, let's recap again, five things that we learned that will help our teams to navigate change. One, learn to anticipate change, because hey, it's going to happen. So get prepared for it. Two, learn verbiage that celebrates change, right? Just go ahead and begin to make a culture shift to celebrate change. Thirdly, learn how to process change, right? Know who to talk to, take it up the chain. Don't dump it down on the people you lead. The fourth thing is learn what to do with change, right? Learn how to navigate that. And then the fifth thing is learn to lead change well and then do it well. So again, change is inevitable, whether we like to admit it or not. Have an active process in becoming better at navigating change in your own life, so that it will better help your team to be able to navigate change together as well. So, hey, we hope this has been helpful for you. Again, it's something that we go through, every single one of us. Doesn't mean it's easy. Hey, we'd love to hear about how maybe you're going through a change in your ministry, on your team, and maybe how this has been a benefit to you. So you can always email us at rodney@unthinkableleaders.com or jason@unthinkableleaders.com, either one of us, and let us know. Also, again, as we've said, we would love to hear some topics on leadership that you would like us to talk about. We received one recently that's going to be thrown in our queue here pretty soon, and we're thankful for that. Yeah, reach out to us, and also make sure that if this is helpful for you and you're enjoying listening, that you share it with someone else. Don't forget to hit subscribe so that it'll be downloaded, ready to go the next time that these drop on that next Tuesday. And we're excited to be a part of just doing life with you and leadership with you. And Jason, always so much fun to have a conversation with you, and I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, likewise, dude. Love it.
Awesome. Well, leader, we're so thankful you took some time to be with us today. Until next time, as we always say, leader, you got this.
Thank you for listening to the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. We hope this talk inspired and encouraged you in your leadership. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And you can always connect with us at unthinkableleaders.com.